And welcome everybody to our next session, the Transform Emotions into Energy series, number five. We are heading into transforming anger into movement and momentum. Thank you everyone who is here, whether you are live or listening to the recording. We have a little over 100 people signed up for the entire course, which I'm really excited about. And on that note, thank you so much for sharing this with others. And feel free to keep that going if anything in particular stands out. You may find one session in particular resonant, or there might be a few that speak to you. And you're welcome to continue to share the joy and the complimentary offering that is Transform Emotions into Energy number five, any time up until June 5th, it'll be available. Okay. So on that note, I'm gonna actually invite us to get our energy moving and grooving in a slightly different way today than we did yesterday. And I'm hoping that you guys are up for a little bit of movement. You can do that right where you are sitting if that's preferable, if getting up and moving around isn't available right now. But if you do have just a little bit of space, I'm going to invite you to get up to move and groove. I've got a short song. It's 3 minutes long. It's called Get It Off Your Chest. And it's actually by a local to Saskatoon, where I'm from here in Saskatchewan. Her name is Janica. Janica. I will share it in the chat feature too for everybody. And I'll pop it right in here before I even press play. So if you've got some space, you're up and moving.
Dum dum ga, 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 dum dum ga.
Thank you for the dance, y'all. As we make our way back, feel free to get comfy, cozy, settling in. And thank you for all of your contributions. You're most welcome. And if there's anything else that you feel drawn to mention that you are focusing on for today's session, feel free again to pop that into the chat feature at any time while we're working, and I'll keep checking back on it. Yeah. As we get into today, we're going to follow a similar format. We're going to do just a little bit of talking, less so likely than yesterday. And then we'll get into the session. I want to try to leave a little bit more room and time for that today. Okay. Now, we are working within the domain of anger, which in Chinese medicine works primarily with the element of wood. So, wood element is the perfect one to talk about right now for us in this part of the world, as it works with spring. So, it's about coming alive, it's about coming into birth, as well as continue to grow after birth. So as we work with the energy of birth, that alone territory is stuff that we could talk about honestly for hours. And if you've ever taken a body talk course with me, you know how passionate I am about the perinatal domain. And for that matter, if you've ever done any breath work for me with me, you know how passionate I am about that. So many of our issues go all the way back, as we were talking about yesterday, to that specific moment of birth. There's a lot of things that happen in that perinatal domain prior to that as well, that set the course for our lifetime, as I mentioned yesterday. So the wood element plays a really key role along with the water element in that. And as things are growing, there's also this energy as wood element carries, which is that of expansion. It's about springing into life. It's about how much more can we reach out, how much more can we come to the edges of our capacities. How much more are we willing to stay flexible around what's possible? As I'll talk about in a moment with more detail, part of the wood element works with the gallbladder as well as the liver meridian. And the gallbladder meridian in particular is very much about taking new steps forward, having a new beginning, expanding into a new project, and having the courage to initiate all of those things. The liver, in contrast, helps to work with the planning of all of that and gives us the activity, literally the metabolic activity that we need to adapt to that new plan of life and to support the growth. So the liver and the gallbladder work quite a bit together here, and I'll get a bit more into them pretty shortly here. In general, know that the liver, the gallbladder, all things wood elements work with the muscles, the tendons, and the ligaments of your entire body. So I named a few muscles yesterday. Those muscles, along with all the other muscles that belong in whatever element that we'll talk about them and whatever emotional states they tend to more readily process, are ultimately, they all have a bit of a connection into this particular domain of the wood element. So all muscles, tendons, ligaments are supported here. And having said that, there's also particular muscles that go with each, as they all do, and I'll again get into more of that liver gallbladder difference in a bit here pretty quickly. The other role that I think is really important to emphasize when we're in here is the impact that this has on our blood. So the wood element helps us to store our blood, and our blood is carrying a lot of passion and a lot of information for us. And we alluded to that a little bit yesterday as well. And it's designed, as per the title of today, to keep things moving, to keep momentum happening. So your blood is meant to actually be in a constant state of motion. So fun fact, this is from Dr. John Beltz-Hymes, the founder of Body Talks Research with heartmath.org, found that the heart is actually not a pump of the blood. The way that your physics of your arterial and your venous blood supply is set up, it's actually set up on a physical level, like literally the science of physics, that's what I mean by that. It's set up to actually stay in perpetual motion. The heart, when it contracts, is giving the blood a chance to pause and to rest. So the heart, we're going to talk a lot more about on session number five, but know for now that the heart, a lot of people think, as I learned all about it in anatomy with my degree in anatomy, I learned about it in medical school for a few years. They think that the heart is a pump, and it's actually a muscular contraction set up to press pause, to give your body a moment of rest, which is necessary because the heart pumps all day long, all night long without pause. And if it's pausing, that's usually not a great sign. There's some things up that are going to require some attention real quickly. So in terms of the liver, it's actually storing that blood that's in perpetual motion, which, and the gallbladder, all things would, but the liver in particular plays a bit more of an influential role within that. And as I made the joke yesterday, the best time to clean our house is when we're pissed off, am I right? It's about keeping, again, that energy of movement and momentum happening. And it's actually meant to do that through your entire system, not just the blood, but anything else that moves. So without anchor energy present, we wouldn't even be able to like reach out for the remote to change the channel on the TV. We wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. We wouldn't actually have air moving through our system. Nothing would circulate for that matter. Not the blood, not the nerves, they wouldn't communicate. There would be no lymphatic movements. There would be no capacity to have a bowel movement. So all of those things that keep our body physiology in motion, in Ayurvedic medicine, they would call that the Rajasic principle or the Rajas. And it's very much tied in here as well. I often think of Rajasic energy as being almost akin to all things wood element, because it's very much about that movement. So let's talk briefly about the liver and the gallbladder, and then we'll get into the session from there. So the liver meridian is probably, well, gosh, they're both pretty important and relevant, and they both hold a lot of chi, so I won't say that, but I have a lot of favorites in this domain. So the liver is one of my favorites to work with, in particular when it ties into anything related to reproductive health and to female health. So anything that's going on in the estrogen-dominated body is what I mean by that. And that sets up unique circumstances. So anytime there's any particular issue with a reproductive organ, it's often traced back to having a bit of a challenge with the qi in our liver and being perhaps deficient or being stagnant or having something excess in it. It might have like excess fire, things like that, that cause it to go a little bit off. When it becomes blocked in that, we tend to end up with a blockage in our growth, our development, our drive, our desires go awry, our ambitions, our creativity might feel like they're blocked, and we might even fall into self-destructive cycles that continue after we get frustrated to continue to block our ambition, our creativity, our drive, and we end up on these loops in a way. So that energy of frustration, rage, anger, is now become personal, and that's when it ends up, as we were talking a bit about yesterday, creating some challenges in the system. So as soon as that anger is, I am angry, I am pissed off, we have taken it inward, meaning we've actually stunted its capacity to do all the other roles of keeping things moving, keeping your vitality moving, keeping your emotions moving and processing, allowing for energy to move not just through the emotions, but also through the mental body to work with supporting your cognitive function. If your liver is compromised, odds are high we're noticing some cognitive things. We might even tend to be really forgetful or really, really disorganized. We might feel like we just can't seem to make plans, or the plans that we do make just fall apart on us. So the big thing that the liver meridian does is it enables us to process our life. And that includes all of our biochemical processes on that physiological level, as much as it does your emotions, your events, your experiences from all ages and stages of life. They can get processed with the support of the liver meridian, which is why it's associated in astrology with the 12th house. So in astrology, they think everything goes through these 12 phases. They call them the 12 houses. House number 12, it's the last one. It's about endings, releasing, letting go, making space, allowing, surrendering, all that good stuff. And as it does so, it's meant to peel back the layers of who it is we are not, so we can come deeper into connection with the truth of who and what we really are. The fancy word that's often used in some psychological circles as well as in body talk is the term individuation Or another way that we might call it in body talk as well as other modalities, multiple, would call it the death of the false self, the death of who it is you are not. So this liver meridian in the 12th house is also associated with a couple of planets, Jupiter, which is very much about growth and expansion, as well as Neptune, which is about inspiration, spontaneity, selflessness. And it often can go hand in hand as well with things like guilt, control, manipulation. I'm sure that applies to nobody here though, right? Right? Okay. Maybe that's just a me thing. But I imagine we might see that pop up here because the liver meridian, when it gets angry, tends to go into that default mode of wanting to control things. And it might do so by manipulating the awareness or manipulating people or manipulating even your own understanding internally about a thing where you convince yourself that something was big and dramatic, even though it might not have actually been that big. Not that we've ever done that, right? Okay. Yeah. The other angle then that can also lead to is the energy of guilt. And I often see guilt and shame travel together. And I'll talk a little bit more about what I'm going to refer to as the combination emotions, or combinations of a variety of the fear, anger, grief, worry, joy, sadness, the basic five, six really. And I'll talk about those on day number six a little bit more. I'll get into that territory. Okay. For now, let me switch gears and talk about the gallbladder. I'm seeing a few chat features, chat messages come in mentioning that they can resonate with some of that. Yeah, thank you for sharing that all. The gallbladder, as I mentioned already a little bit, the gallbladder is about taking those steps forward and initiating forward momentum in its own way. The gallbladder helps to, on a physical level, secrete our bile fluid, which helps to digest our fats. And this is often a question I get, so I'll address it now, because it's such a common thing, unfortunately, in our society, to have removed the gallbladder. And even though you've had your gallbladder removed, the meridian, the gallbladder meridian, hasn't necessarily gone anywhere. And in fact, the problem could very much still be there. Removing the gallbladder might have helped and might have done enough of the job. However, the underlying issues that led to the gallbladder needing to be removed are likely still in play, and they're hanging out in that gallbladder meridian. So we're going to be targeting the understanding that the organs are just the densest manifestation of the meridian. They're the place where the chi, that flow, so not quite slows down, but the meridian, I should say, its frequency comes to a lower vibration, and then lower doesn't mean bad, it just means it's slowing down enough to actually form the physical organ. That's one way of thinking about it. And as we continue to talk about this gallbladder, I mentioned the decision making, and if you think of what happens if you're ever getting really stumped and trying to make a decision, or you're figuring out what's going on, or you're trying to overly process a big, big thing, we often call it, oh, I have such a headache, which is not a slip of the tongue, because the gallbladder, along with the liver, work with the connections that we have throughout our neck and our shoulder muscles. And they also will create the circumstances for us to be more prone to headaches, and especially those stubborn types of migraines. Yeah. The gallbladder, as it's known to catalyze new things and new beginnings, may also encounter the headaches as it's working within new territory. As we learn, as we grow, we're sure to hit those stumbling blocks that are there on purpose to continue to support our learning and our growth. If we see those little stumbling blocks and we get really ticked off at them, so our liver and our gallbladder, chi just aren't having it, then we might be prone to getting really stuck, which will then continue to fuel the anger, the rage, the frustration, and it'll just keep going round and round and round if we're approaching things from more of that fixed mindset. If, on the other hand, we actually don't necessarily think that everything is just as it appears, that we understand that actually we can learn, we can grow, just like when you learn to walk, just like when you moved from crawling to getting up on 2 feet, you made some mistakes, and you pick yourself back up again and you carried on. The growth sort of a mindset would support within the gallbladder functioning that capacity to catalyze as we make our way through those blockages, another new opportunity to learn and grow. And it continues to create an upward spiral as we begin to experience that growth, that learning through our challenges actually leads to a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction that may not have been available if we were coming to it from a more fixed mindset, meaning we didn't think anything could change or happen differently. Most people who show up here and are interested in doing this kind of work tend to be more on the growth side. So I have a feeling this is probably resonant for you all in a certain way. And yet on the other hand, we may notice places in us where we're still a little bit fixed. So we're never really truly just one or the other. There might be actually a part of us that gets a little bit at times thinking, oh, that can't change. All these other things can, but what about that thing? What if we have those little intermittent understandings of fixed mindsets appear? Those also will highlight where the chi is stuck in the liver, gallbladder complexes, and then their meridians. Yeah, that stagnancy of chi will correlate directly to that fixed mindset. Okay, so if I was working with a healthy gallbladder, I would have lots of courage, I'd have lots of really good initiative, I'd have the ability to make easy, quick, good, strong decisions, and I'd have good judgment underlying those choices. So that in a nutshell is the gallbladder. Now, I promise to talk briefly about the individual muscles. And the gallbladder rules and governs the anterior deltoids. This is part of your boundary setting muscles. This is my space. So the anterior deltoids are a big part of that. The other deltoids are going to factor in there as well. And they have more of an input from other meridians, but the big one for the anterior deltoid is the gallbladder. It also works with behind the knee. And there's a little muscle, fancy name, popliteus. It's kind of a fun one to say, popliteus. And the knees help to, well, bend. And as a result of that, we actually get some flexibility. So how flexible are we when we're on our path and we're making new choices and we're encountering new opportunities and we're catalyzing more forward momentum step by step? That's a gallbladder thing. Let's talk liver muscles. The big liver muscle that I see flare up a lot with folks is the one between the shoulder blades. The fancy name for this is the rhomboid. It's a sneaky place to store all the anger that we don't want anyone to think that we have. So we might present to the world this calm, serene, masked, everything's great. And on the inside, we might be, I am so ticked off. And all the things that we want to hide from the world, we end up shoving somewhere in our back body. So that way no one else will see it, or so we think. It's a story we tell ourselves. And that rhomboid muscle often has a tendency to throw off because it stabilizes the connective tissue regions as they go up higher through the neck. What I see, and this isn't necessarily that I know of, spoken of in any particular modality, but what I see a lot in practice and honestly, just daily life, I see it in people's bodies all the time when I'm out and about. But I tend to see those rhomboids getting so, so tight that they actually glue all the other connective tissue layers to all the other muscles underneath that go straight up to the neck and straight up through to where the skull joins the spine. And again, I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow on our third session. And this area is often associated with disorientation. So if we're really, really pissed off, we become blind with rage. Blind with rage. Which is interesting, because as we get blind with rage, we become disorientated. And it also references that the eyes are connected in some way with us all. But you've all had those times, I imagine, where you're literally blinded with the anger or the frustration of the situation, that rage, that resentment. And your eyes are in part the processing center for the liver and the gallbladder. And it's associated with the bodily fluid of tears. And it's been shown, they've actually taken the tears that have been cried in frustration and rage, versus the tears in joy and happiness versus the tears in sadness and depression. And by the way, anger and depression go hand in hand. I'll talk a little bit more about why that is on session number 5. It might show up today, we'll see, in our inner session. And the saline content of the tears changes according to what emotion is being released and processed by those tears. Isn't that interesting? So the quality of the tears is actually supported by the health overall of the wood elements. And one of the things that I see get really stuck in people that are particularly navigating challenges that are related often to that initial stages of shock and numbness is the incapacity to cry. The emotions aren't moving, so the tears aren't being shed and nothing's overly flowing. This is all tied into this territory together. There's one more muscle I want to talk about, and then we're going to get into the session. The last liver muscle that I'll talk about is associated with a part of your pec. It's one of the two pec muscles. This is the pec major sternal, and essentially it goes into the sternum in essence. So it's that chest muscle. If you've done a lot of push-ups recently or anything like that, or you've done in yoga, chaturangas would be the fancy term for that yogic push-up. Spiritual push-ups are somehow a thing these days. I'm joking because my yoga teacher makes that joke all the time, and we giggle about how you're not any less or more spiritual if you can't do a chaturanga 12 times in a row. And I agree with her a lot. So as I digress on that, I'm going to come back to this pec muscle. And the interesting thing about this pec muscle is that much like the liver meridian, it tends to guard the heart. And although I haven't spoken about this yet, I'll tie it in now. The other area that the liver meridian tends to guard a lot is the genitals. It guards our sense of pleasure. We literally get so ticked off, also ties in with the bladder, so pissed off, that we may shut down our capacity for pleasure via enjoying the sexual energy that might be tied into actual sex, but might also be tied into sexual energy animating you. So from a Chinese medicine sense, your sexual energy does a lot more than the act of sex. It actually is the thing that keeps you alive. It's your animate force. It's the animate force found in nature around us. It's the animate force that gives rise to the creation of birth and growth. It's the creation energy itself. Not a small thing. On that note, I'm going to invite us to shift gears and begin to settle in here by means of breathing. And as we breathe, every inhale an opportunity to call in, to receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels pleasant and neutral for you, I'm going to invite you to savor that, to drink that on in. And on that note of savoring, I'm going to invite you, if your eyes are closed, you can stay inward, unless you want to open them, you can scan outward. And whether you're scanning inside of you or outward, I'm going to invite you to look around in all 3D directions, inwardly or outwardly. And let your gaze land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. It's pleasant to neutral. And when you've got it, noticing what it is you like the most about it. And as you observe and take in all that you enjoy about it, savoring it, and receiving this opportunity to nurture yourself with this nourishment. And I invite you to notice what happens inside of your body and your mind as you're present to this all. How does it feel just by hanging out with this? And if any part of that is pleasant, even neutral, taking time to drink that in and savor it as well. As you drink that all in, I'll offer my thanks. Thank you for being here. Thank you for calling this medicine in. And thank you to all of those that have come before you that have made it possible for this sweet moment. Thank you to your ancestors, your lineages. And thank you to the villages that you have in your communities, in your life, that have allowed you to be here and support you in the ways that they have. And thank you with all the gratitude to those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands, that have nourished us all to be here, that will nourish those to come, and to nourish and those that have been nourished by it. Thank you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace. Blessings on your journey today. As we settle in for today's session, again, I won't be cueing this as a breathwork session, although you could definitely breathe to it if you have an established breathwork practice. And as we begin, we're actually starting off with a cellular repair, which is not a small technique in body talk. It helps to restore cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're actually doing it for the thymus gland that hangs out just above the heart, and it stores all the ways that we have kept ourselves safe and protected ourselves. It works with acceptance and rejection, all the stuff from early childhood where we learned all of those things. As it works with those patterns, we're actually going to a specific pattern that was picked up at age 2 that's stored in the gallbladder meridian that carries the message of you need to run away, you need to get away. It's carrying the energy of a flight, of fleeing. And the edges of our feet on the outside edge, along with the bladder meridian, is where we can find the gallbladder. The gallbladder meridian continues through the side of our body mostly, it zigzags a little. And then it comes into the inner parts of your brain, into the amygdala complex, which is a part of your limbic emotional brain that works with making decisions and choices and responds using that fear, anger, rage. So as we work with this, we're looking at a pattern that you learned at 2 that said, as long as I'm angry and potentially even playing like the victim with that, or potentially that being the angry type of depression, as long as I'm angry, I have control. So anger gives control. Anger gives control. And for this, we're actually going to run something called a Sidri. It can continue for the next 3 days, so until roughly Wednesday, if you're doing this in real time with me. And this is working with C. The Sidri stands for an acronym that starts with C. Circulation of all the healing resources, including blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, help our nervous and immune system alike to heal, for that matter, most of our body-mind. And we're also going to balance yin and yang, feminine and masculine. Then we're running hydration to help the cells take in water and joy and release any impurities that just don't need to be here anymore. And as sun flushes through the system, I see a star. Okay. And it's like the six-pointed star, which can carry a lot of meanings. In certain mystical shamanic traditions, this is also the symbolism of the four-element system, fire, earth, air, water. And as we work with that, as they come together in right balance, it actually creates alchemy. So how I'm interpreting that particular star that's showing up in this way is being able to create alchemy, being able to create change, which is very much the interest of all things liver, gallbladder, wood, element stuff. And maybe now it's possible to maneuver, walk through, maybe even flow through your capacity to change whatever transition you might be finding yourself in here, without it requiring anger as a form of protection or control or giving rise to a sense of this is what will get the job done. And as we potentially come to experience changes in new ways, it's linking into the earth element, which we'll talk about a little bit more tomorrow, as the earth element plays a role in creating change that is meant to provide peacefulness. And as we link wood to earth in this way, we're also offering the wood element, all things that come from the earth, which is meant to create nourishment in our system. Our experience here is ultimately meant to be one of feeling nourished and resourced and at peace with everything that's available. We get a lot of things confused about that as human beings, especially with modern day living and cultures and our ideologies that we have around hustle culture that I spoke a little bit about yesterday. And this is heading actually now as a link up to the gallbladder meridian, where it goes through the brain, which is into that amygdala complex, which makes those choices, catalyzes new capacities, new opportunities, new possibilities, or goes into making a choice to react, overreact from anger, from frustration, from resentment, from rage. And what I'm seeing here is actually the rage of feeling like it's so much harder today than it used to be. It's so much harder today than it ever used to be. And in some ways that might be quite true, in other ways it might not be. I don't know. I didn't live by way back then. And however far back way back then is referring to will be different for every person. That might be 2 generations ago, it might be 10 generations ago. There's a sense of things just feeling that much more challenging with how we have life set up nowadays. And the overwhelm that's coming in particular through overload of information. And it is said that this part I can speak to a little bit more, comparing modern day life with times pre-technology, we're exposed to something akin of what someone might experience in their entire lifetime 100 years ago, we're experiencing that same volume of information in anywhere from a day to a week. So it's safe to say that we're being fairly overstimulated with the information overwhelm that comes. It actually keeps overwhelming, or keeps exponentially growing through the overwhelm, it's looking like. As we moved, even social media 20 years ago, it wasn't so video orientated. Then it became more oriented to video, and then those videos became short stories and reels and the like that have very quick moving things. So all that information that we're being flashed at hundreds of times in our day, even when we pick up our devices just for a few moments, or even just as simple as, maybe it's not technology related, but as you go out and about into your world, there's a lot of extra information available that wasn't so overwhelming to the senses as it was 100 years ago or so. So essentially, we're going to work with that overstimulation here. And it's actually created a unique response in the system that's close to, it's mimicking that of shock. It's mimicking that of shock. So we're actually going to run a body chemistry, first of all, to release any toxic nature of the, I'm going to say, the EMF fields that are associated with our increase in technologies. As that's going to also include like the Wi-Fi. It's going to include electricity running through your walls. It's going to include anything that was here that wasn't so available, let's say, I'm going to go back a little further, a few hundred years ago. And as we basically release the toxicity of that excess activation, we're running the permission / affirmation. And the words here are, the power is within me. The power is within me. It's as if the awareness of all that extra technology and devices is out there is feeling like, oh, the power is out there somehow. And as you reclaim that sense of power, of that being in here, I want to remind you that the electrical capacity of your entire body is superior to the biggest, baddest supercomputer in existence today. They haven't been able to match it yet. So the electrical capacity you carry in your baby finger is actually more than that of the biggest, baddest processing computer out there. It's often said that we don't use more than 1% of our brain at any point in time. So that tells us that there's a whole lot of potential that we can tap into here. There's a whole lot of potential that might not be as available through the mass stimulation and distraction and focusing elsewhere. So in essence, we're going to take that extra strain out of the brain here by means of lymphatic drainage through the amygdala complex. And then we're essentially going to hit the reset button on the amygdala complex, giving it almost like its equivalent, sorry to use a technical example of all the times, of shutting down your computer and rebooting it and restarting it and having it come back to life. We can, in essence, do that through your amygdala complex. And as we support that, we're going to also link it into a part of the thalamus. And your thalamus hangs out roughly in the center of your limbic emotional brain. We're going to go into the thalamus is often thought to be like the sun of the solar system of your brain, or like Grand Central Station. Everything comes in and out of the thalamus before it goes to any other part of the brain and gets perceived as something's happened. So thalamus does all of that. And we're going into, as I mentioned, a particular part of it all. We're going into the reticular nucleus. The reticular nucleus, that's a fancy word. Essentially, it helps to process, reason, organize, and integrate. And as it covers all of those things, you can see why it's associated with the liver meridian, as the liver meridian is also very much involved with organization and processing of things. It's also showing up today because of, again, it carrying a sense of overstimulation from having to always be processing. Just like it's once in a while not a bad idea to give our digestive system a bit of a break to actually deal with the overload, the overwhelm. And this is craving the same thing. It's wanting just a little bit of a break, kind of like a fast, so to speak. So if it calls to you and if you can take the time, I'm going to suggest that you spend a little bit of time away from your technology later on today. If you are able to set the phone, the computer down, and maybe even just go outside in the earth. Ooh, what might that do if you were hanging out there for a whole hour or two without having to even check your phone? We used to live that way. I remember that when I was little. Ah, might feel good to do that again. And the reticular portion of the thalamus, I see it just like light up. It's like, oh, yes, please. Can I have a bit of a break? That would be lovely. And you might even like it so much, it might become an ongoing thing that you continue to use as self-care from time to time or on a potentially regular basis. Excuse me. And as we work with it, we're going to also run a defrag on it. So all that overstimulation has created a certain amount of chaotic energy here. And I'm going to keep the electrical examples going. It's almost like electrical wires that are kind of frayed and not fully in connection anymore. And I see like the sparks kind of going everywhere. So there isn't like a useful fluid connection happening here. So as we work with that, as we run a defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, it's going to take out that clutter that doesn't need to be here. And it's going to support the capacity for all that doesn't need to be here to be set down, as well as what remains to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. And as it gets utilized for healing, it's able to then have that electron flow, that neuronal activity, that communication being restored to actually allow for new growth to happen. And this, as it reorganizes in this way, will actually support the capacity to release those times in which you felt like that can't change. As we also unwind that belief system from here, this will never change. This can't change. I'm at the mercy of my external world. I'm helpless. I'm powerless in the face of all of that. And as we begin to, in essence, release that pattern, I'll call it, through here, I invite you to also notice other times in your life in which you may have also felt that same similar type of feeling powerless, or almost even like you've been held hostage by events and circumstances beyond your control. Something that might have even felt really like you were pissed off, enraged by that. And as you focus on that, we're actually going to be releasing through a couple different areas, through the different jaw muscles, as well as through the sphenoid muscle, pardon me, bone, where it becomes external, which is right around the temple. As we do so, we're going to run another defrag for the muscles that run around this area. Okay. Along with running that defrag through the jaw muscles. The jaw muscles in particular that we're working, here's the fancy names, the masseters, they open and close the jaw. They also work with the genetic code. And we're also going to work with the pterygoid muscles. Pterygoid from pterodactyl. They kind of look like little wings and they hang out in the roof of your mouth. Okay. And as we work with this, that old stuff around, I can't get away, I can't get away that we were highlighting with the outside edges of the feet and the gallbladder earlier, is now connecting into the pterygoid muscles, which help actually not just to flight, but to fly in a way that leads to good flying, the capacity to fly high, the capacity to soar again. And as we work with that, at the same time, we're releasing the energy that's coming through the maternal family lines that's also stored in the masseters. The masseters actually have a pretty strong connection to our genetic coding from a body talk sense. And we're going into the maternal family lines that carried the messaging that said, you can't do that. You'll get hurt. You should be cautious there. Hold on. Slow down. And we can almost think of it as the term helicopter parenting is around these days. It's actually like the energy of being helicopter parented, but by yourself now. It's as if that patterning that you have held through the maternal family lineage has created this sense of being overly cautious or holding you back in a certain area of life, potentially playing out in multiple areas of your life for that matter. And as we release that sense of being held hostage, that sense of powerlessness that comes within that all, that sense of blocked, changed, pardon me, blocked creativity that doesn't allow for changes to happen so readily. It's also unwinding the energy of the fixed mindset that's held here in through these layers of musculature. And as we unwind that, what might it be to just slowly, slowly allow the jaw, the back of the jaw, to separate? It's said that when babies are lulling themselves to sleep at night, they actually breathe in a certain way that allows for their jaw to unwind and let go of the challenges of the day that they've had. So if babies breathe in a particular pattern, they allow for that back of the jaw to release on an inhale. And then it closes up on the exhale, but not to the same level where it was found before. It closes just shy of that, and it continues to expand on the inhale. And then it'll close a bit on the exhale, but not to that previous place where it was found before. And it keeps unwinding layer by layer, breath by breath. And I know I opened my mouth to attempt to show you teeth opening and closing, but this is technically able and available to be done with lips closed and simply allowing the back of your teeth to open and close. Unless you have a particular facial thing like I do with my clumped lip and palate, which doesn't always allow for that to happen as easily, but it's come a long ways. I can actually now breathe through my nose for the first time in my life with breath work, so yay, pretty happy about that. And just the other day, I was able to keep my lips fully closed and breathe with ease while I was sleeping, which hasn't happened. I've been working on that for a year and a half, so I'm pretty stoked about that. And I'm going to keep working on that. Those jaw muscles, as they unwind, those patterns of control and learned, I'm going to say learned powerlessness as it was held through the maternal family lines, get to slowly, slowly continue to unwind as you continue that breathing. And you're welcome to even do that before you go to sleep at night. That gets to be homework if you like it. It gets to be home play, home care if you like it. And it's something that I like to do usually for 5 or 10 minutes as I'm falling asleep every night. I find it really, really helpful. And as it unwinds through there, we're going to also now link your jaw joints, your TMJ joints, to your sacroiliacs. The sacroiliac, it's a fun word to say, it's found in the back of your pelvis. The pelvis in females and women tends to be roughly at the edge of the, begins at the edge of the hips. And the male pelvis, it's more upright, it's more cylindrical. So the pelvis actually starts just a little bit lower than that. The sacroiliac joint is off to the center just by a few inches and below the level of the hips on average. And it's a big, big joint. If you've ever had sciatica, you know where this joint is. And the TMJ and the SI, they work together. They work together to work with digestion of your life, your events, your emotions, your experiences, as much as your actual food itself. And as we work with this, you can think of the jaw as helping to literally open up to life, open up to take a bite out of life, open up to receive what's nourishment in life. So this homework of opening the jaw actually might carry a lot of value through multiple domains for you if you're keen to try it out. I'm curious to hear what happens for you. I'd love to know a little bit more about that all for you. And as we work with the TMJs, that jaw joint, to the sacroiliac and support digestion overall across all fronts. We're then going to link that into the chakra that's most connected to digestion in these ways, which is the solar plexus. the solar plexus. And we actually have to connect to the solar plexus chakra, the ventricles of the brain. And it's said that if you take the ventricles out of the brain, you reconfigure them to just the right angle, they actually form the symbol of Om, A-U-M, Om. That symbol of Om is thought to be, in many circles, the universal psychologist, as it reflects the beginning, the middle, and the end. The beginning, the middle, and the end, it symbolizes totality, from creation to destruction, all the way through. And as we work with that cycle of life, the beginning, the middle, the end, and we bring in the sound of Om through to the solar plexus chakra, we're also going to release an act of memory here. And it's actually releasing a fear of creation, a fear of creativity alike. And as we release that fear, it's actually releasing the fear of being overwhelmed by it all. And that fear is often the sort of like the cap that's actually hiding what's underneath it. And as I release and go a little bit lower, I see a whole lot of anger, which is often what fear tends to hide. And underneath here is it's a particular type of anger, and that we would call resentment. Resentment is the resending of anger, meaning it's something that we're just chronically in the loop of, thinking about, looping around consistently. And as we unwind this anger that's here, I'm going to invite you to imagine that you can even sense it. You might have a sense of color, or you might just have, if I was to say, pick a color, any color, a color pop into your mind. I'm going to invite you to imagine that you can see or sense that color in some way, shape, or form. Might be an image that shows up, that's great too. And however it appears to you, breathing into that, and making it thick and dense, and making it a little bit more substantial, more real. And then in your imagination, if an artist's paintbrush just magically appeared and entered the scene here, notice what this changes and shifts into. What's here now? And if that's transformed into something different for you, that's useful to be with, then feel free to stay there. If there is something else that's shown up that's not quite as delightful and useful to be with, I'm going to invite you to imagine the edges of this that's holding it in place now actually begin to melt. They dissolve. And allow for this energy that was trapped here in this way to begin to expand. As you let that sense of resentment have the edges dissolved, so it doesn't have to be held in any one particular location. As it begins to dissolve, you may notice that that sense of anger actually gets bigger initially, which is a good thing, as it gets bigger, as it expands. And just staying with that, you're welcome to stay with your breath here. And as it expands, it might actually dissipate. It might begin to change the way it's vibrating, pulsating, change the way that it's flowing. And as it begins to move and groove in different ways, it may begin to take up even more room. It might begin to expand to the very edges of your body. It might go beyond. And just staying with that, and as you do so, I'm going to link the portion of the side of the foot, which works with that gallbladder meridian, along with the side of the ankle, into the earth below, releasing any last little bits through the gallbladder acupuncture points that are meant to help to act as a supportive sort of dumping ground in a good way. It actually allows for things to be released easily. And as that releases easily into the earth below, it becomes recycled and becomes available for nourishment. It's almost like a fertilizer gets to be formed. And out of those old restrictive seeds that have been restored into the earth below may come new life. And I invite you to imagine, that you can actually see whatever's been released through you has actually been planted as a seed. And as you notice that seed, I'm going to invite you to imagine. You get to have fun with this because your imagination doesn't have to be real or at all trapped by the limits of the known world. To imagine that you can see something growing, and I wonder what pops out of the earth. What comes alive here? And as that appears, honoring its growth in your imagination as this continues to play out. I'm going to run the permissions here. It's safe to grow. It's safe to grow and express. It's safe to grow and express and come alive here in ways that you may not have before, but it is available now. Safe to grow and express and come alive. And as this continues to grow, I invite you to breathe with it, to drink its energy in. And as that continues to get even richer, even bigger, even bolder, even brighter, in essence, giving your solar plexus chakra permission to do the same, to grow bigger, brighter, bolder than ever before, and expanding as it does so your capacity to digest even more of life, more readily, to digest anything that may have been overwhelming or overstimulating in a way that becomes almost minuscule by comparison to what it was before. And as the solar plexus is ready to digest these things, it also is available to digest now the backlog, as I'll call it, the constipation of old things that have really frustrated it. In particular, as it's related to those projects, those things that you wanted to do that just didn't quite come together, that might have felt like they went like kaput, or those plans that you've made that you can't seem to quite get going. Anything that seems to be holding those back, anything that's in the way, that's creating a limitation, gets to actually be readily digested here with the solar plexus chakra. As we run the permission statement, it's possible to change now. It's possible for that to change now. Even if you have no idea how, even if it's not even realistic, even if there's like not a shot, it's actually still gonna take some relief, some pressure off of the system. And there might even be the possibility for something to come alive that was seemingly impossible before on the other side of this. And as we support this, this solar plexus chakra and its natural healthy roles, it actually returns to its natural state, which is meant to be the fire in the belly. It's meant to support your metabolism in all things. And it's meant to connect you as it does so to your passion, your zest to actually want more of life. That even includes the potential times that come with that, that are challenging. And as we lean into that from a place of growth and being oriented to change in this new way, I see the feet plant a little bit deeper into the earth as if they're ready. And I see them have that springiness restored to them that says, I can respond to what's coming my way now. And in fact, that's the permission statement that we're running here. I can respond to what's coming my way now. And as we do that for your feet at this age and stage of life, we're also doing it for that inner two-year-old that we worked with earlier, helping them to connect to that same flow here. And then we're linking this all into the 12th house, that house of the liver meridian that works with releasing, letting go, surrendering, allowing, making space. Making space. What is there room for now that there wasn't before? What's available here that wasn't so much before? Taking a moment to breathe, to connect to that, to really sense it, to notice it. And we're linking that now to the eyes. And we're actually here releasing those times in which you felt like you didn't have the resources to get whatever it was, the project, the job, the capacity to rest and relax, done. It's like, I don't have the resources to do that. And that actually is also a passed on pattern through the family lines, through mom's side in particular. And from here, there was this idea of, I don't even have the resources to celebrate the way that I want to rest the way that I want to nourish myself, never mind anybody else, the way that I want to. And as we work with the eyes here, we're actually going into the optic nerve where this is stored. The optic nerve hangs over the back of the eyeball, works with our first cranial nerve. And it gives rise to supporting vision as it goes all the way back to the occipital cortex, which stores the part of our brain that processes vision, visual information. And we're actually releasing the need to see it how your mother did. We're releasing the need to see things how your mom did. And as we release that, imagine that we can hand that pattern back to your mom so she can do the same. To liberate her mom, and she can send it back, and she can send it back, and that woman that came before her keeps passing it back, womb upon womb, generation upon generation, all the way back until source itself. And as you release that, I wonder what the eyes would like to connect to here. I wonder what comes possible to be seen in your vision. What can you dream alive that's here for yourself now that wasn't so much available before? And as it unwinds through the eyes, through the vision, it's also releasing through that occipital cortex, that lobe of the brain, that part of the brain that works with vision. In particular, the part that hangs out right in the midline, just above the brainstem. And as we work with this, we're releasing the connective tissue that goes down to the brainstem that's very much concerned with only survival energy. And what if this doesn't have to be limited? What if vision doesn't have to be constricted or limited just by survival energy? What if that's old school thinking that came through our parents and their parents? Because it had to. It was there for good reason. It helped them stay alive. And they passed that wisdom on to us. But it may no longer be helpful. What was their sanctuary may be a cage for us. And as we release that through the brainstem, releasing that need to have vision only based on what would keep us in survival mode, begins to change and allows for that particular activation that we were working with earlier in that depth of the thalamus, that part of the limbic emotional brain, to also have a different capacity to process visual information. So it can actually point to things that make us not just survive, but thrive. What's here for joy? What's here for passion? What's here for celebration? What's here for possibility on the other side of just survival? And as that comes alive, you may actually even see things. As you work with this in whatever way, shape, or form comes into your awareness for you, know that we're linking it all through to now your third eye, your other sense of sight, your sense of insight, your sense of intuition, your sense of clarity. And from here, we're doing an emotional release. of overwhelm. And it's the overwhelm that comes with trying to predict the future based on all that old overstimulation that was hanging out in the brain, causing chaos, keeping you stuck in old survival loops. So we need to release that same pattern now through this third eye, through this chakra that hangs out here, the brow chakra. And as that releases and unwinds through here, running a cellular repair again, restoring the cells, and we have to think of this somewhat metaphorically, back to their fullest potential of health, restoring this area back to its fullest expression of health. And as we do so, linking it through to now the liver meridian and giving it permission to not have to hang on, to not have to just barely make it, to not have to get motivated by means of being pissed off to just make it through one more day. And as we release that through the liver meridian, it's coming through where the liver meridian runs in the inside of the legs, up through to the genitals. What if there actually got to be pleasure alongside of all that energy that's intertwined around that survival bits that we released earlier? And then we're also unwinding that liver meridian pattern as it continues up through to the chest and it guards the heart. What if just for now, all of those ways in which we felt like we had to close down with our shoulders, we had to hunch in and circle our backs in and around things, gets to open up just a little bit more by means of breathing. I'll invite you to give yourself a slow, deep breath into all things chest. As we do so, releasing the little yet mighty irritants that build up throughout our day, and releasing the expectation that we should be chronically irritated. This might be conscious, might be subconscious. And as we release it, coming off of those chest muscles to allow for the expression of the heart to become available. What if you didn't actually have to protect your vulnerability by means of expecting things to irritate you in advance? And as we release that anticipation, as we release those expectations, releasing them through the family lines, again, primarily through the maternal side. And as we release that through mom's side of the family, we're going back a fair ways, 14 generations, no small thing. And as we do so, also tapping into the wisdom through the generations. And in this 14th generation back, there was an ancestor who knew how to step into open-heartedness with courageousness, that knew how to feel, that knew how to dream, that knew how to imagine, that knew how to grow and live through the expression of this heart. And knew how to use it to guide decisions. And we're linking that into the gallbladder meridian as it runs through that side body into the foot below and helping you to literally step forward from that wisdom, from that place of confidence with an open heart. Invitation to breathe and receive as we tap this part out. Giving that a full breath in whatever way feels right, supporting the time for this to integrate now. I have a short song, and I'm going to invite you to, if it feels right, call in that resource that you landed on earlier, the internal, the external. And I've got a song, it's called, I'll share in the chat feature as well. It's called The Course. It's by Ayla Nerio, Nereo. And the album is called The Code of the Flowers. The Code of the Flowers. Breathing. in receiving this nourishment as you integrate. Shanti, Shanti. Blessings on the rest of your day. And if anyone needs any extra support, if you have any questions, comments, queries for me, feel free to hang out afterwards. I'm going to formally close because I did it again. I blew past my 75-minute mark by an extra little bit. But I have space and availability in the next little while. So if you need anything else, feel free to hang out. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day, y'all. You're most welcome. Oh, I'm so glad it was profound. I must admit, I feel like that first session yesterday, I wasn't in quite my usual stride. It was my first time really marrying all of my communities in all the hats that I wear, all in one setting. So today feels much more at ease. So thank you for noticing that. Yeah, you're most welcome. Okay, my pleasure, y'all. Bye for now.